You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Philomena Williamson. She's talking to me from Upper Montclair, New Jersey. Philomena, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Philomena, I want to talk about your work, upcoming shows, and a book. But to just be good, I said you were in Upper Montclair, New Jersey. Is that where you are now? Is that where your studio
yes.
is?
Yeah, well, my studio is in East Orange, New Jersey, but I live in Montclair. And East Orange is a couple of towns away. So that's where the studio is. It's in a building that used to be a munitions factory, and now it's there are artist studios there. So it's quite a special place.
And you're preparing for a show coming up, right? A show in California?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. I'm excited about it. It's the Jenkins Johnson Gallery in San Francisco. And it just so happens that Karen Jenkins, who's the gallery director, bought one of my paintings, must have been 20 years ago. And during this pandemic, I guess people are going through and looking at what they have. And she happened to call. I mean, she didn't call me. She emailed me and said, "Oh, hello. Do you remember me? I bought one of your paintings years ago. Are you, what's going on?" And we just started talking. And I sent some of my work to her that I've been doing in the recent past. And she said, I'd love to show your work out here. And that's how that got started. And now I'm having a show there opens in February. The actual opening is in February, but the soft opening is January 23rd. And then it runs until March 3rd.
So let's talk about what's in that show. How many pieces? And yeah, congratulations on that show.
Yeah, thank you. It's going to be probably eight to nine pieces, and most of them have been done this year. I won last year because usually it takes me. I usually take about a year to do like eight pieces, but. This past year, I've had more time, and I've really, the only thing that's sort of kept me going over this whole pandemic is to be in my studio and working, so I've done many more. They just keep pouring out of me. So
let's talk about the work itself and what's in there, because there are it seems strong narratives in a lot of the work, almost stories being told, right?
Right. Well, you know what? It's so funny. Well, it's not so funny. My work is basically about adolescence and that sort of transitional period, and I use that figure as the vehicle to tell stories about what's going on in the world and what I'm reacting to and the social situation of the world. And so these figures are, they play out that story. They sort of tell that narrative. And so when I was in my studio over this whole time and, it was really quiet outside, and everything is sort of at a standstill, I really had the opportunity to think about every figure that I'm putting on the canvas and the gesture of every figure and what that meant to me and why I was putting it on. And not as I'm doing it, of course, I'm thinking about it, but it really was, I always think about it, but this period of time gave me, it was because it was so quiet outside. I didn't hear, the noise of, okay, this is happening over here, this is happening over here, you have to think about this. I didn't have all of that. So I really just had the quiet of my studio and what was going on there. And I did I just started doing these paintings about one about not being able to hold people about not being close to people, about sort of isolation, about the sort of fragmentation of, you know, who each person is and the identity that is sort of placed on them because of what other people think. And so I just started doing all this work about that, about...
So let's talk about one of them. There's of course, mm-hmm. links to your website here, and people can mm-hmm. see more about that and perhaps even your show. But to talk about this specific work, and as you're saying,
sure.
And just correct me if I'm wrong, it's the figures tend to be adolescent children,
mm-hmm.
and your narrative, what you're kind of describing, your story is through the kind of lens of these young individuals. Is that correct?
Right. And they are, you know, it's funny because they are, I've been doing them for a long time now, and I guess I started doing them because I started painting when I was an adolescent, you know, and I relate to the possibilities that the adolescent has, but also the incredible amount of anxiety and the unknown quality and the, you know, I am, what's happening and what do I have control over and what do I not have control over? And basically you don't have control over anything and things are just happening to you. So that's sort of why I have that's why the figure is the adolescent who's going mm-hmm. through all of this stuff.
It seems so appropriate for the moment in a way because that's mm-hmm. also often where all of us adults are right now in the pandemic and the election with everything. This is,
yeah.
this is quite a time, November 17th, 2020, when we're talking, where it seems that we all have aspects of that. We can't
right.
control what's going on.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, the thing is, and that it's a reoccurring thing that happens all the time. I mean, that's the one thing about my painting. You know, people will say, "Oh, it's about childhood." Oh, but you know, aren't you finished with childhood? I mean, I am finished with it. But all of those feelings and emotions are still there, whatever age you are. And just as you said, yeah, like all of that feeling of anxiety. You know, yeah, we all feel that now, whatever age we are, because of what we're living through. You know, so there are sort of reoccurring things that come up all of the time in every stage of our life. And, you know, with my paintings, I want to sort of call attention to that, you know what, you may think that you're past it, but it's still here and it's evident in everything that's around us.
That's so true and so important because as that you're saying, someone said, "Aren't you through with childhood yet?" And that's such an odd comment in a way.
Isn't it?
Maybe more telling for the person who asked it. But you know, I guess we'd like to think we're through with it. But I know that, at least from my point of view, I never am. I'm always revising mm-hmm. things. There's memories I'm revising.
Mm-hmm.
There's the traumas I've experienced that I'm recontextualizing
right.
or thinking differently about. This is lifelong. It's never even
right.
toys that I've thought about that I occasionally like look for on eBay or something. Obviously, I'm not done with something. I don't know what that's about, but we're still trying to kind of resolve so many of those
right.
things or understand them more. So. So let's talk about the painting,
right.
The Gathering, which
mm-hmm.
Will be pictured here. Tell me a little bit about
right.
What's happening here,
because
this looks kind of mysterious and like a story,
yeah.
and very intimate.
Right.
There's,
Well, that sort of, it started after I was thinking about the children who were separated from their parents, and the idea, like, you know, what can be done, you know, that's a horrible, horrible feeling, the idea of, you know, separating these people from their children and not being able to find them again. And I just wanted to think about all the dolls. If you notice, there are lots of dolls in there, and they're all dolls from different countries. Basically, I collect dolls. I have a collection of black dolls, and then I also collect dolls of different ethnicities. And So I wanted to have this painting where the dolls are sort of representing all of the people who have come to this country, who and the lap of the person whose head is chopped off is, you know, in a way, it's the welcoming lap that used to be there for everyone. And so that's what that painting is about. I also, in it, I have the iron, wrought iron gates that they would have in New Orleans. And that I put those there because I really think of New Orleans as, I don't know, like a very special place that's not America, but that is America. You know, it's sort of, it has, I don't know, it's nothing, it's not, I love New Orleans, and I guess I just wanted to have something that looked New Orleansy there.
Right. I mean, these are largely also girls in this, right? Were they typically not boys, or is it, yeah?
Well,
a child grows up a little bit. I mean, that's fine, but how a woman grows up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what? I started out and they were just girls. And then because I'm a woman, you know, obviously my experience is just in being a woman and my adolescence. Then I have a son, and I was watching him go through his adolescence, and I realized, wow, boys go through through stuff too. And so now when I'm doing the figures, they're sort of boy, girl, non-binary, I don't know. You know, I don't like to think they could be, you know, another thing is in terms of race, I think of them as, you know, people of color. I think of them as mixed race people because my children are biracial. You know, the color of their skin is really, for me, it's just to show that there's a different. There is not one kind of black person. There's not one kind of white person. They're people, and they're not. They represent a period in time for every group, and so it's not like this is only what black people do or this is what white people do. This is. I don't know if that's clear.
No, that makes sense. That's interesting. I suppose there's all these commonalities. I mean, it is also about growing up in a certain culture. You know, I just read Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, I think if I'm saying her name right, The Feminist Manifesto and 15 Suggestions, which, you know, I don't know if you've read that, but it's a gorgeous book about what a woman is saying, a black woman in Nigeria is writing to someone about how to raise her daughter, and suggestions and all kinds of things. But it's a beautiful book that kind of points to the difficulties of growing up as a child, especially adolescence, mm-hmm. and also as a woman of color, as a child of color, mm-hmm. that there are, in a sense, different stories that have to be told because of mm-hmm. things like the lack of black dolls, for example,
or
all this other imagery that they're seeing, that in order to be a woman that's not on an equal footing with a man, that there are these, and forgive me if I'm going into territory that these don't really explore, mm-hmm. but it reminds me of that in terms of like stories of adolescence. It's about how do you manage yourself, your body as a woman, as mm-hmm. a girl, and how do you mm-hmm. look at the world of equality with men, with white men, with black men, with men? You know, how do you manage those power struggles?
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of a narrative that's in this work, or no?
Yeah.
It's a different message.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is definitely part of the narrative. That is, and the funny thing, well, it's not funny, but the thing is, like, all of those things are in it, and is it obvious? No, it's not, because that feeling insinuates itself in your life all the time with the way you look at things. I don't parse it out and say, oh, now I am thinking of of this. Now I'm relating to this because of it's just sort of it's in your being all of the time. So so it's
but
part of my
painting.
Let's talk
about another painting from
time.
That show. There's the Gathering. Mm-hmm. Is there another painting in that show that you want to mention that we'll also have pictured here?
I think there's one of people sort of piled up on top of each other.
Yes, it looks kind of like
like
Twister,
a tower.
A party of Twister or something, yeah.
Right, right. And that one, again, was sort of one about the, you know, not being able to be close to people, but also the kind of support that, you know, each person or each, you know, children get from each other. And the way, you know, there's one person on the bottom and they're all sort of balanced on her in such a precarious kind of way and twisted around and, you know, legs are sort of coming out of nowhere. Well, they're supposed to be coming out of the people's bodies around them, but
right. But,
I don't know if it really works.
All piled on top of it. No,
right.
It does.
But they're all piled.
Like they're all on top of one girl.
Right, right. They're all on top of one, and just sort of that idea of you know where there's one person that's supporting all of this, and you know sometimes that is a feeling that that you have that you're supporting everybody, you know.
As a child,
emotionally,
you have that idea.
You know,
that's a very interesting
kind of
adolescent idea that as a child you're supporting everybody, meaning a kind of responsibility for even like your parents' feelings, friends' feelings, that kind of caretaking.
Right.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And that you know that your or siblings or you know your friends. I mean that you're that you are, you know, responsible for them all. And I think that also. This painting and sort of this idea came a little bit from, in Montclair we have, you know, I love Montclair. And as I drive around, I see all these signs that people put up, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, Science Matters, you know, Love is Love, and all, you know, all of the things which are about humanity and just sort of, you know, thinking, wow, that we have to be reminded that that is something to, you know. It made me think, you know, if I were a child and I was walking, you know, around and I saw Black Lives Matter, like, whoa, did someone think it didn't matter? You know?
Mm.
And so that's sort of what influenced that painting a little bit, too.
That's very powerful. Go on. That influenced that painting and that there. We're talking about lives of a child that's supporting all these other lives. I mean,
right. And you know, that's a heavy thing to get, you know.
Well, it's a very heavy thing. I mean, isn't that a little bit like the way children feel respond? Because it almost defies, like, I think, well, no, children actually don't do that. But, of course, they do. That's how they feel responsible for parents divorcing or staying together.
Right.
They think it's somehow they're in control of that. And maybe, I mean, I never really thought of it that way, but you're saying that extends to many relationships they have, and that's very complex to kind of get around or to empower yourself with because, of course, it's... you're in a situation where you have way too much responsibility that's impossible, really, right?
And, you know, the other thing that I think about all the time about, like, why I chose adolescence as the vehicle to tell the story, you know, as the main thing in the narrative is because, you know, children are the most vulnerable things around, you know. They're the most overlooked. They're just so precious. And yet, you know, unless, I mean, they can be surrounded by people who love them and adore them, and there's that, but there's also that other side where they're victims constantly, and that is really, really painful and upsetting to me, you know. And I guess, you know, I do I make them as large as I do. You know, they're all large figures on 60 by 48 canvas, and they're all sort of right at you.
60 by 48, right? That's what I thought. All of these are like 4 by 5 feet.
Yeah, right. And they're sort of jumping at, well, they're not jumping out at you, but they're very close to the picture plane. You know, they're not, there is no going into the painting and then finding them. They're right there.
Right, they're very confronting in a way.
They're very, like, up front. And I sort of want them to be there because it's almost like, look at me. You know, I'm not going anywhere. Here I am. That sort of constant, I'm not going to go off into the corner and you can ignore me kind of feeling. Or I'm right here and I might fall out of the canvas
any
moment.
Right, I will be seen and heard in a sense. Right,
right. I will be seen and, yes, exactly.
I like that. I'm excited to hear about that show and it was great talking about this. I wish you success with that. I know it's opening in January and then February, so there's the whole pandemic thing, so it's good to hear that you're having a show. I want to speak a little before we go about also a book that you created. Can you,
tell me
a little bit about that book? That was with Marilyn Nelson, and the book was
A Poet, Rubaiyat. Right. That was, that was wonderful because I did a public art piece a few years ago for the subway system in New York. It's on the L train. It's Livonia Avenue Station, and it was with fused glass. And I did like 12 fused glass pieces about the seasons. And one of those, so that was a while ago, I did that. And then the MTA Arts and Transit Program has Poetry in Motion. And they used one of the images from my subway piece for Poetry in Motion, and they paired it with Marilyn Nelson's poem. And so we got to meet each other for a couple of events, and we really got along. And she said, I'm doing a children's book. What would you think about doing the paintings for it? And I read her story, the story that she had, and it was a wonderful story about a little girl and how she drew on the back of posters that are of her activist parents. And, you know, it just sort of spoke to me. One, the sense that she was a quiet person, and she just sort of listened, and she did this drawing. Much like, you know, as a child, I was very quiet. And art was my release. Art was, you know, where I found my voice. So doing this book was like, yes, this sounds right up my alley. And so I did the paintings for it, and so the book just came out in October.
And briefly, the narrative of the book is also one that's about empowering children. It's about social justice, in a sense.
Right. So she, you know, her parents are activists, and they go on these marches, and the little girl listens to everything, doesn't quite understand what's going on, but she's drawing on the back of their posters. That they use in their marches, and then something happens, and their family says, we've got to go march again, and they gather up the posters that Lobaya has been drawing on, and when they go to the march, you know, they of course are the words on the front of them, but on the back are these incredible drawings that sort of speak to the ideas of what they were talking about humanity. And so all of the people in the crowd see them, and they are like, look at this. And the message is even a small voice has a big roar. So, you know, of course, and it's so appropriate for now, too, in terms of marching. You know, it's like really, but so that's exciting. It's Lobaya's quiet roar. And
well, thank
you
for talking about that, and also, you know, it's exciting that that's out there. There'll be links to all of this, which is also through your website, which is here. Before we go, I want to ask you the last question, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
Well, I'm going back to New Orleans. The Yellow House is what I'm reading. And even though it's, you know, I was there, but I guess, 3 years ago, at the Joan Mitchell Foundation. I was a resident there, and I got to stay in New Orleans and really, you know, sort of fell in love with it. So this book, you know, takes me back. It's not particularly happy book, but I enjoy going back there and sort of, you know, when she talks about the streets and, you know, I can smell New Orleans. So that's sort of, right. That's what I'm reading. And I'm doing it really slowly. I realize I'm doing it slowly because I want to savor every little page and the descriptions of the people there and how they're talking and stuff. So.
That's nice. I mean, that's one of the beauties of also like rereading a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
To savor it. We can read it more than once, savor it,
right.
And enjoy it. That's wonderful.
And you can go slowly. You know, it's sort of like, you know, that's the luxury. You're not in school and you don't have to rush through the book. Like, you can just luxuriate in it.
So
that's what I'm doing with The Yellow House. I'm just like, time to take a trip. So,
well, Philomena, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today, and also good luck on your opening in California.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.